Brian's birthday on Wednesday, I think it was, wasn't it? Yes. So we're a bit late, but nevertheless, we sing it with sincerity. So let us.
Happy birthday to you, dear Brian. Happy birthday to you.
And now the first hymn, a well-known one, Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. Come to the Lord in prayer. We come, Lord, to worship you today, and there are times when we find it difficult to be all that we should be. We love you and we want to please you, so we pray for more strength and courage to enable us to become bold and effective members of your family. Help us, Lord, to shine for you so that other people will see how wonderful you are and become your followers too. How wonderful you are, and because your followers know this, they find that it's lovely to be part of your family. We thank you for all that you do for us. We are truly blessed and we promise to follow and obey you. We seek to be empty of self and full, Lord, of the Spirit. So, Lord, this is our prayer, but also we want to bring those that cannot be with us today to you in prayer, and we want to bring the people that are listening online, bring them to you in prayer, and we want to bring each other, because we all need, Lord, your help. We need to come to you and bring our private prayers. So, Lord, we pray for John. And I ask, Lord, that those that look after him in the home may know your strength. But be with John himself. Lord, he is special. Keep him safe, we pray. Be with Jean and Stuart. We thank you, Lord, for the way Jean looks after Stuart. But Stuart can't leave the home, and so they live together there in their own house on their own. But Lord, we know that you are their companion. We pray for Helen. Her situation is very difficult, and we pray, Lord, that you would be with the people that look after her. You would be with Brian as he visits her, and help Helen, Lord, to know better days. Be with Sarah. She can't be with us again today. She got through one illness, and now she's being held by another one, and she's had her appointment at the hospital changed, postponed, and so still she is in pain. Be with Jilly, Richard and Robert. They're all away visiting Richard's sister, and we pray for them and for Richard's sister herself. Then, Lord, we pray for each other. We pray for Brian. We pray for Rita. We pray for Bruce. We pray for Sarah Jane. We pray for Graham. We pray for Deborah. We pray for Rita. We pray for Eunice and myself. And Lord, we pray for those who are listening online. Lord, be with them, and may they enjoy and benefit from this time of worship. So, Lord, these are our prayers, and we thank you that you are always ready to listen to our prayers. So we come to you, Lord, in confidence, in the name of Jesus, your Son. So, Lord, would you answer our prayers, and will you be our constant companion? In your name we pray. Amen. Now we sing a hymn that's in line certainly with the message, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." That's repeated twice in the first verse, and how important that is. So let us sing together.
Thy word is a lamp.
Now we come to our Bible reading for today, and Brian is going to share that with us. Thank you, Brian.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to 17. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, but evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have been convinced of, because you know those with whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that a man of God who may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Thank you, Brian. So there we are. We can indeed be equipped for good work. And the next song Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided, urged and inspired us, cheered us on our way. Lord of the years, we bring our thanks today. The title today, on the 18th of January, comes from our reading, 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 to 17. But it needs to teach us quite a bit, doesn't it? Is the Bible reliable? We have some 5,000 Greek manuscripts of the Bible, some of which go back to the 2nd century AD, and a few fragments even to the 1st century AD. And among these different readings, there isn't a single point of dispute over any essential doctrine. The oldest surviving manuscript that we have of Tacitus dates from 800 years after the original, and yet most people would accept it as historically accurate and reliable. Where the historical details of the Bible can be verified, they have been confirmed as accurate over and over again. Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles, has been called one of the finest and ablest historians in the ancient world. And the incidental political, geographical, and nautical details he gives have been found to be accurate. If he takes such pains over these details, what reason do we have for distrusting him on other matters? It's true that the first gospel was written about 30 years after Jesus' death, but it is very likely that Jesus, in true rabbinic tradition, encouraged his disciples to learn his teaching by heart. In any case, in those days, people were in the habit of remembering events and conversations in detail and passing them on with extreme accuracy. Many of the Jews were still alive when many of Jesus' contemporaries were still alive when the Gospels were written. They surely would have pointed out any inaccuracies in them. But there is no evidence that anyone disputed anything in them. There is so much evidence for the accuracy and reliability of the Bible that had it been other books, it would have been accepted without the shadow of doubt. Voltaire predicted that within 100 years the Bible would simply be a museum piece. Oh dear. He didn't know, did he, eh? 100 years later, the house in which Voltaire lived wrote these words, and it was found that his house had become the Bible Society, printing press and producing a Bible a minute. So that sent Voltaire off, didn't it, eh? So I want to talk about the test of truth. We must be concerned with the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Paul once made the same point emphatically to Timothy, who was called to lead one of the most influential churches of the first century. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching. This is what he said. With faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Many of the great revivals of the past have begun with deep repentance, great joy, fresh love, and spontaneous praise. But they have withered away due to the neglect of God's word. The roots have not gone deep enough. Perhaps even worse, movements which began with the Spirit went off at a tangent and later proved disaster. So let me tell you, it is the church which bases its life upon obedience to God's word, especially the written word in scriptures, that is likely to see the power of God at work. The written word is the one that we need to obey. The written word is the one that provided the church with the knowledge it needs. The church is also, of course, dependent on the power of the Spirit. So although there have been many people in the past who've tried to say, oh, you can't say that the Bible is reliable, well, we think from what we've heard and from what we know that the Bible has been accepted over so many years. So many churches have grown. So many Christians have become notorious in believing the Bible and teaching it and obeying it. And we're going to look at obeying the Bible in the future. But let me just say this. If anyone tries to tell you that the Bible is not reliable, you should be able to tell them that you don't believe that it's not reliable. Because there is so much proof, and it has been accepted, and it has achieved so much over the years. When I think of people that in my little circle that I know, and how their lives have changed because they believed the Bible. When you had the testimonies, the last one I think was a gentleman who had been in prison, a gentleman who read the Bible, a gentleman who accepted it, not because he was told, but because he had his own experience of the Bible's truth. And he became a pastor first, then he became a founder of an international Christian organization. And that was after he had become the leader of evangelism explosion, that's not the word. But so we should never doubt, we should be sure, we should accept. And this is the thing, this is the important thing, that when we do accept the Bible's reliability, that's when we see things happen. So what does that tell you? We love our God and we thank you for the word of God which is there for us and for all people. And so now we're going to sing our last song, I Want to Walk with Jesus Christ all the days of this life on earth, to give to him complete control of body and of soul. And then you've got the lovely chorus. Follow him, yield your life to him. He has conquered death, he is King of Kings. Accept the joy which he gives to those who yield their lives to him.
tune.
Ain't the right tune, is it?
It is the right tune, it's just the song is just going continue on it.
Oh.
So you've just got to pick up when it comes in. I'll start.
People going away and with illnesses, you may feel, you know, we're so small, but think of the number of people that are listening to these services on the line, and so our faith is going out to a lot more people than we are here. And we praise the Lord for the way that he does that. This is how our God moves. This is how the Spirit moves. And so we must never get disillusioned, because the gospel is going out. Now let us... Shall we not stand, or... Eh?
I won't hold hands.
All right.
It's understandable. If you want to go out, you want to go out somewhere.
Made of grace.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen.
Hallelujah!
Oh, that was a funny hallelujah.